All right, I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 13. John 13, if you're with us for the first time today, our normal steady diet at Hope Valley Church is that we are walking through books of the Bible on a Sunday morning, verse by verse. For these weeks of Advent, we've been hitting some different spots, a little bit different than that. And today, as we continue with Advent and the topic of love, and this in Advent, we're in a season of waiting and anticipation as we look towards the coming of our Lord Jesus. As we look towards Jesus, the eternal Son of God, coming to be with us. And so John 13 is where we will be here in just a moment. As we jump into that, though, think about this. What are you known for? What are you known for? Maybe you're known for being the best cook in your family. Maybe you're the one who can always make people laugh and put a smile on their face. Maybe you're the athletic one, the smart one, the quiet one, the loud one. Maybe you're the teacher, the engineer, the cop, the lawyer, the nurse. What are you known for? We can think about that a lot of different ways, right? We can think about personality traits. We can think about a profession. We can think about so many different ways, things there that describe us, describe ways that others know us. Well, today what we're going to look at is we're going to look at Jesus' words of what a Christian should be known for. So these verses that we're going to read today were actually already read during the Advent candle lighting today. But let's look at them together. John 13, verses 34 and 35. I give you a new command. This is Jesus speaking. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus' words here to his disciples are fairly simple. And short in the part that we're focusing on here today, but very, very profound. As we've been looking at our Advent topics, we've been talking about Advent as a different kind of waiting. We wait, we anticipate, but we know what is to come. We anticipate with our eyes looking backwards. Looking backwards at who we were before Christ, looking backwards at Jesus who came after all of the prophecy all throughout the Old Testament, that he came fulfilling all of those prophecies. We look backwards knowing that his work was accomplished, that he did what he came to do. We look forward knowing that our glory is with him, knowing the work that the reward that we have in heaven for all of eternity. And we've seen the last 3 weeks, we've seen that as we wait, we are driven by hope, by the living hope we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. That we are comforted by peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that we are filled with joy. A joy that is only in our salvation. Today we see that we are known by love. That Christians are known by love. So the first thing we'll... That's one thing you can do. On that note, the first thing we'll see is that we love other Christians. Love other Christians. Verse 34... Jesus says, I give you a new command. So that raises a couple of intriguing thoughts here, okay? So part of the question there is, what's new about this? And then we also see that this word command stands out. This is a authoritative statement here. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. But let's think about that question of what is new about this. Loving each other, loving your neighbor as yourself, is not a new topic. It's not a New Testament only teaching. It was throughout the Old Testament as well. But the new part is that now our love for each other is modeled after Jesus' love for us. Because as he follows that immediately, he says, just as I have loved you. So what's new here is that this love that we have for each other, that this love that believers in the Lord Jesus have for our brothers and sisters in Christ is modeled on Jesus' love that was shown for us. So we need to look at that, right? We need to see what his love is like to help us to even begin to understand how do we love each other. So we could look a number of places, but one I want to read to you is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this new command here that's modeled after Jesus' love is a self-sacrificial love, right? That Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So we love each other by putting each other's needs ahead of our own. We love each other by caring for each other more than our own desires. It's also interesting, it's also, I think, very important that we understand what's happening in the context here at this Last Supper setting. In John's gospel, he focuses on disciples' feet washing, but also Judas's betrayal has been predicted, and Judas has left. And so now Jesus is speaking to his true disciples. The betrayer, Judas, who's going to betray Jesus, has exited. And so he's telling his disciples here, he's telling those who are truly seeking to follow after him, love one another. What does it mean for those of us who follow Jesus to love each other? I think it certainly there's a big part here is that we're seeking to meet each other's needs. We're seeking, sometimes even before someone has to ask, because we know each other. We're in relationship with each other. We're not just acquaintances that we see in passing on a Sunday. We are in each other's lives, and so we know each other's needs. We know how to love our brothers and sisters. You know, one huge way that we as Hope Valley Church get to experience love from other Christians is all of the support that we have that's from outside of our local church here, because as a young church plant, we rely on support from Christians all over the country. And we have churches and individuals who support us through prayer and finances and teams like we have here right now. Right now we have people representing First Baptist Church in Weatherford, Oklahoma, which is a church that has, from the very beginning days of Hope Valley Church, stepped up and said, we are here to support in any way we can. And I can't get them to say, they never say no. Okay, to any need that we have, and they're going out of their way to support and to show love to the body of Christ in that way. But we also think about how do we do this interpersonally? How do we do this just for each other? Where we're going, where we'll get to in verse 35, is that we do this, and then from that, that's how the lost world will know that we follow Jesus. But this idea that we have to know each other to love each other within the church, I think is something we can't just skip over, okay? There's a reason, as at Hope Valley Church, one of the values we speak of is to live as family, because we've all come to Christ as sinners, and He has adopted us into His family. He's made us sons and daughters, heirs of the kingdom. And so as family, we come together. I read a moment ago from Philippians 2, the verses right before that, in verses 1 through 4, say this: "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by having the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others." So if we're going to love each other, we'll be united. If we're going to love each other, we're doing nothing to please self, or to build ourselves up, or to boast in ourselves, but we're motivated by humility. We're counting others more important. We're looking not to our own interests, but to the interests of each other. And we can't get to the second part of this without modeling that. That love that is based on Christ's love for us, that love is based on His sacrifice. And from that, we show a love that we have for each other. I think if we're at different places, right? Maybe for some of you, church is a very new thing, or maybe it's a thing you're coming back to after a long time, or maybe it's you've been in different kinds of churches and you're exploring. Maybe you're still trying to understand what you truly believe. But for those of us, I think if you've experienced this kind of love in Christ's body, in His church, I think you know it. And if you haven't yet, we are not a perfect little church here. But we strive to grow in our love for each other. And I challenge you to be a part of the family, to make yourself known so that we can grow in love for each other. It's so much of a blessing that I think we don't even always realize how we need it, you know, and what extent we need that. But it is such a blessing in our lives. And that leads us to the second thing here. First is that as Christians, we're to love each other. Second is that we're to be known to everyone. Verse 35 says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples." We are not secret disciples. We are not secret Jesus followers. We are not in hiding. We are to be known. We're to be known. We think about Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, where He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. There's a clear message there, right? Is that those who follow Jesus stand out. That we stand out from those who don't know Jesus. That we stand out from the world around us. We think about that illustration there in Jesus' teaching, a city set on a hill. If it's surrounded by darkness, any tiny bit of light up on that hill stands out and is noticed. So as we think about the salvation we have in Jesus, as we think about how we are made new in Him, He has saved us and He's changed us into something that is noticeable to a lost world around us. I think we've all met a person who's a name dropper before, right? Maybe you have one at your workplace, and every conversation they're trying to let you know who they know and how important they are. Or maybe one time they were in the same airport as a celebrity, and so they think they're best friends, and they're always telling you about that, right? We think about these types of things. We think about it when people are always working into conversations of how important they are because of who they know, because of the connections they have. And it's in a way they want to be known by who they know. As we talked earlier about what we're known by, we too want to be known by the one we know. We want to be known by those who know Jesus, those who are made new in Jesus. But we don't want to merely be able to speak the name Jesus a lot, be able to drop His name into a lot of conversations. We can look around and see the name Jesus used in all kinds of contexts that are not what we're talking about here. We can see all kinds of organizations and religions and everything else that use the name Jesus, and because they have the name Jesus present, they try to claim that they are walking in the love of Christ and that they have the gospel of Jesus, but they have something else. It's not just a name that we speak. The gospel that says we were dead in our sins and trespasses and were made alive in Christ, all by His grace, all by His redemptive work, that we can know Jesus. If we want to be known by our love for others to a lost world, it's the love of Jesus, the knowledge of, the relationship with, the intimacy with Jesus that shines through in us. And it's only then that we'll have something to be known for. I think for some of us, this idea of being known is probably a little fearful, a little intimidating. Maybe you live with some guards that you put up to keep from being known. And I think we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that as especially as we talk about how we love each other, how we're known within the body of Christ, is that if we are avoiding the vulnerability, the danger that can come in letting people in, we're not allowing ourselves to be loved and to love genuinely in the way that Christ has shown to us. And in that, we're stopping this from getting to this point that we are known for our love for each other. Because this is the deepest of intimate relationships here. This is not superficial. It's deep and authentic. And so we have to know and be known by each other first. We have to be vulnerable with each other. We can't know how to love each other if we don't know each other. And the world, and if we don't love each other, the world does not see Christ's church. And we all, as if we're followers of Jesus, we have a deep burden for those who don't know Jesus to know the hope that is found only in Him. Right? We would all agree in that. And Jesus says very plainly right here that they will know we follow Jesus by our love for each other. A way that we love like Jesus, we see from John 3, 14 through 18. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. If we believe the gospel, if we believe what we have in Christ, then the reality is that anyone who doesn't believe is condemned. And condemned is for all eternity in hell, right? And so if we believe that, then we want to share the hope of Christ. As we celebrate, as we anticipate in Advent, as we will celebrate in a joyous celebration on our Christmas Eve service, celebrating Christ who has come, we're celebrating that we were sinners, dead, condemned to death, and Jesus came to pay the price for our sin, to make it possible that we can have life in Him. And we want everyone around us to hear and know that that is available to them. So, we have to love each other. We have to love each other when it comes easy. And we have to love each other when it's very, very painful. Think about the love that you show in your closest relationships. It's hard, right? It's not always simple. There's a lot of messiness that comes into that. There's sometimes some tension and some strain and some hurt and sometimes even some betrayal as we love in those ways. And as we love each other, as we love the church, we're loving people who are redeemed by Christ but who are still sinners. And we're going to be hurt sometimes. We're going to experience some pain. We're still walking through the sorrows of life on earth. And we're going to spend a lot of time comforting the grieving. We're going to spend a lot of time encouraging those who do not see what God is doing in this moment. But we have everything in God's Word to be able to do that. To be able to love each other in those ways, to be able to comfort each other, to be able to demonstrate a love that is unlike anything a lost world can show, anything that someone without the hope of Christ can display. That we can know Jesus' love, that we can love our brothers and sisters, and we can be known as Jesus' disciples. In a moment, we're going to pray, and we'll sing a final song together. And I encourage you, above all else today, always mindful that most likely there's someone, whether gathered with us here or maybe listening to this online, who has not encountered this love of Jesus. You've heard about it. Maybe you know a lot of the truths of the Bible, but the question is, do you know Jesus? Have you called on Jesus solely on the basis of His grace shown through the cross of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? And if you have not done that, then you can't understand this love we talk about. But we invite you today to call out to Jesus for your salvation. For the brothers and sisters here who know Christ, be challenged, be encouraged to be growing in our love for each other. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for the perfect example of love that we have in Jesus. Lord, I'm so humbled that when my sin made me an enemy of God, you chose to show love. You chose to make redemption possible. And you've said that for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Lord, I pray that to you, Lord, the God of salvation, for any of our people hearing these words who have not come to that place, Lord, that they will call on you and receive your gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as believers here to be vulnerable so that we can be known, so that we can love each other. Lord, help us to be known by our love. Lord, do the work that only you can do of advancing your kingdom and your gospel, using the love that your church, we as believers, has for each other. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.